Mira la izquierda, mira la derecha. ¿Qué ves? ¿Dónde estás? In a world that seems to change daily, what will you do next? Welcome to the Next Steps Show with Peter Vasquez, a starting point for discussion y un poco de dirección. Buenas tardes, bienvenido. Hola, hey everybody, hope you're having a phenomenal Monday. I hope your weekend was great. Hey, soy yo, tu conservative New Yorker, Peter Vasquez, aquí on the WISL stations. Y sí, we have, guess who we have? La Voz de Libertad. Good morning, señor Voz de Libertad.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, I said it in English. I didn't want to. I made him stumble. You were expecting it in Spanish, weren't you?
Yeah.
You were.
And then I focused negative energy on you, apparently, without meaning to, and it made you stumble.
Yes,
everything's my fault here, folks. That's the way this works.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're at the top, right? Everything becomes your fault. That's how they say it's lonely.
And that's why it's so funny, because, you know, you think that when you start your own business that I can do whatever I want. I'll be my own boss. No, everybody's your boss.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You know, if you're a CEO, you have boards and you have customers that are kind of your boss. If you're an executive director, you've got like at least eight or more bosses. And you're right. When you're a business owner like this, I mean, and the thing is for you, it's not even just your customers, like the ones that give you money.
No.
It's all the people that are listening on these airways from down south all the way up to Canada.
Mm. What was the old British salutation? Your humble and obedient servant, sir. Your servant, sir. Yeah.
Talking about servants, you know. So today I'm going to shine the light on an individual whose dedication and passion have illuminated the path for countless souls over the decades. He is the cornerstone of Bible Baptist Temple Church since 1977. That's a long time ago. And embodies the essence of spiritual guidance and educational leadership. With over four decades of unwavering commitment, our guest has not only been a beacon of hope and faith, but also a formidable teacher dedicated to meticulously unraveling the complexities of Scripture. It is my honor, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Pastor Jose Rodriguez. Bienvenido at Next Step Show, Pastor.
Well, it's certainly good to be here. Thank you, Peter, for having me. I'm among some great folks known around our country, but it's a humbling experience, and I do appreciate the opportunity to be here. But, of course, the cornerstone of all things is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so it's good. It's been a great ride. I get to meet people as yourself and others here. And that's it really is a privilege. Thank you.
Oh, the privilege is ours. Anytime I can bring someone like you on the show, it's exciting to me. And the thing is, you know, I've worked with pastors for so long. I've worked with business owners for so long. I understand how busy your life is. And the thing is, you know, we talk about leadership. We talk about terms like servant leadership. But a pastor, you know, I believe it has a very unique role within the role of leaders, right? I mean, you truly fill that whole concept of being a servant, because you don't just lead your parish. I mean, you're like held to a, not just you, but pastors, good
Absolutely.
Pastors.
Correct.
You're held to a level of expectations that is beyond and in today's crazy world, in some cases, that's even it can even be life-threatening.
Well, to be held to those standards, rightly so, because Jesus Christ is our greatest example of what it means to serve his own creation in such an amazing way. So that's the inspiration that we all have as believers in Christ.
Absolutely. Sí, por seguro. So Teresita, right?
Yes.
How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing well. She told me to keep my statements short.
Thank you, Teresita.
Yeah.
See my previous comment about how everybody is your boss.
There you go.
Absolutely.
The chief of staff is home right now listening.
Is she listening?
Yeah.
Teresita, call in 346-3000. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a pastor here today. This guy is on it, right? So Pastor, you've got grandkids. I think you've got like 16
I've
of them, right?
I've got three great-grandkids, 18 grandkids altogether.
18. Boy, that grew since the last time we talked
about
that.
Well, I never anticipated to be at this side of things, but it's a real blessing.
So, hey, I'm going to ask you a difficult question that I've asked other pastors, and I've gotten different responses from. But in terms, or the terms, faith and religion, right? They're often used interchangeably, but they have this, in my opinion, at least, and I believe this to be a fact, they have distinct meanings and are applied differently. Can you define the differences from between faith and religion?
I'll give you maybe like a secular, only because the Bible does talk about religion in the context of being a servant, to visit the weak and the fatherless and that kind of thing. The Bible calls that pure religion. From my personal perspective, I understand what religion used to be for me versus being a child of God by accepting from the heart the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That goes into a very personal relationship. And so that's the distinction, a relationship versus being a religious person.
Okay, interesting. So let me ask you this, a follow-up question here. It seems to me, and I say this, you know, again, more for edification of myself and listeners, that religion, right, not faith, because I understand faith is that relationship with God. I can talk to God anytime I want. I don't need an intermediary. Did I say that right? Someone in the middle. How about
that? There you go.
I can just talk, and I love that concept.
Absolutely.
But I find the concept of religion, the institution definition of it, kind of aligns more with politics or more of a political type of where almost religion becomes politics. And when we see what's unfolding in today's society, isn't that what is happening?
Well, here's what's heartbreaking. We're secularizing even more. I just heard this whole situation in Russia. Karine Jean-Pierre and John Kirby, they said our thoughts are with them. It wasn't that long ago where you might have heard them say our thoughts and prayers are with them. So they dropped prayer. So the secularization is a major error, because when God created Adam and Eve, with those two, all three institutions were created simultaneously.
Correct.
God says you're going to be the family, you're going to be the parents of future generations, but he also gave them power and authority over creation. That's politics. You cannot really separate the one from the other. They kind of go hand in hand. And when the Bible calls people in political positions ministers of God, it's because they really are, for the good or for the bad.
Who can be a minister of God? Can I be a minister of God?
Certainly, if you're saved, if you're born again, of course you're the head of your home as a dad, as a husband. You need to be a minister. That's what we all are supposed to be doing across the board. So, in a position of politics, you too would be considered a minister of God. Of course,
I want to talk more about that.
Governors, senators, presidents across the board.
Ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000. Don't be bashful. Give us a call. Listen, your question doesn't even have to be anything about religious or faith. If you have a question that you've been wondering, I'll tell you, this guy can give you an answer and validate it. Crazy stuff. But let's back up a little bit, Jose. Let's talk a little bit about you, who you are. What I'd like to ask our listeners, is can you tell us who Jose Rodriguez was, right? Like that journey and the next steps that you took that made you the Pastor Jose Rodriguez you are today? Because it wasn't all silver spoons, pretty and pigs, speaking English and all that, was it?
No, I mean, I come from a very, very tenacious generation back then. My parents didn't know, my mom didn't know any English. My dad, he was in the military, knew fluent English. So born in Puerto Rico, but here at the age of 1.5. So I never had bilingual education per se. It was always one language. We came up through the public school system. And at the age of 25, it's when I came into an encounter with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But pretty common, like anybody else that came from Puerto Rico, they learned the English language. We loved the American culture. We loved the American flag. And not that we forget our culture. I still love our arroz con gandules and all that other stuff. But still in all, we still do live in the most privileged country of the world. And I've never forgotten that. So certainly this is the land of opportunity. So I hope I've answered the question.
Absolutely. But at age 25, that's pretty young.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What caused you to change? Well, I mean, a different time, okay. I get it, but...
Yeah, well, you know, I was always very independent as a young person, and I decided to do my own thing as we normally do. I had religion, but it didn't feel the need. And therefore, I went out into the world. I was out there partying, doing drugs, and everything else that people tend to do. But it got very empty very soon. I had already suffered a divorce. And I'm thinking about, is this really all there is to our existence? You're born, you're invested, you get your education, you make your money, you buy your house and that. And then, but then one day, at the end of the day, you lose it all. And I'm thinking, why even start? At the end, you're going to die. So it just didn't seem to settle right with my soul. And I began to ask the question, is there more to our existence than just being born, living a life, and then dying? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished, what you've attained, you're going to die and lose it all. So none of that seemed to fit well with the human spirit. And that's how I come to know about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he sent people my way that had the biblical answers to all of these questions. It's amazing. It really is.
It is, and it spells it out right in the Bible. I don't understand why so many leaders fear this word of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to your conservative New Eureka and aquí on the WISL stations. Si tenemos hoy, I'd pass to Jose Rodriguez, 346-3000. Give me a call. We'll be right back after a minute or two.
It's the WISL station. In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general, or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester needs to grow. Our kids are telling us they don't feel safe in their neighborhoods or rec centers, and they're asking us to be open more. And thanks to your support, we will. We're adding a weeknight and Saturday mornings to our basketball program. We're adding a second Arts Academy Friday night. And we're adding a second P31 girls class on Saturdays. But we need your help. $25 per month funds a kid for a year. Give your best gift to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Advertising on the WISL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WISL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
Indeed it is. Peter Vasquez on this Monday on the WYSL stations. Next Steps brought to you through the generosity and the kindness of the real estate appraisal firm of Ryan Murphy and Associates. Again, here's Peter.
Thank you very much, there, Señor Voz de Libertad. I appreciate that. And, of course, thank you, John, for your support, for the listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask, why is it that these leaders, especially political leaders, fear the Word of God? It just seems like it makes sense if it gives hope. Tom from Greece, thank you for calling the Next Step Show, sir.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Super-de-duper great today.
It's good to hear. I love what you guys do. I really appreciate you being on the air. I want to start off with that.
Thank you.
But I do have a serious question. I'm dealing with it as a business owner here in Rochester. I find myself battling my own people with having my beliefs on my business websites. If that makes any sense, like on my like Facebook pages and things like that. And I've got people, even vets, who all support what I do. I've got support everywhere, but it's hidden support because they do it from afar, because they want me to curb my beliefs on my business page. And so it's an ethical and moral conundrum for me, because we all know where the world is going. We were just talking about it. So how do I navigate the rest of this landscape being a Christian? My words aren't the best, but I'm, you know what I mean? I'm just a guy, right? So how do I hold fast to that while knowing it's going to be a rough battle the rest of the way?
That's a great question, Tom. And I can tell you, God does say, you know, you follow me, you must be willing to pick up your cross as well. But Pastor Jose, would you mind?
Well, no, not at all. The Apostle Paul specifically says that if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution, and that's just a form of persecution. And I really don't know that I can say much more to that. That's just the way it is. When I got saved, I mean, I was abandoned by family members. Mm-hmm. Thank God that through the years, a lot of those that initially did abandon me, they'd come to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, that's one of the things that gave me pause at the very beginning, is to know that I would have that loss. But here's the thing. When I did decide to honor the Lord, I got other things that actually has made my life abundant in many different ways. So that's probably the best I can do with that. Or, you know, maybe you're going to find other associations, but that's just like Peter said, you pick up that cross, then you're going to suffer some losses along the way.
Absolutely. And Tom, I can tell you from personal experience, you know, even in politics, I'm constantly told, Peter, stop talking about God, you know, stop making some. And the thing is this. Although I am constantly persecuted, that is for sure, right? But Tom, remaining steadfast and true has had more of a blessing. And the thing is, you don't always realize it, because sometimes it hurts. But there's two things that's happened that I've realized, that when I stopped worrying about it, prayed every day. I prayed and prayed for, you know, to continue to be wrapped in the Lord's armor. Is that I've seen two things. My business grow, and people have come and said, thank you for being so steadfast in what you believe, and have stuck with me. And even a couple people even apologized for beating me up pretty severely. But Tom, there is no easy answer except for pray and remain convicted in your convictions, because it's that consistency that always, always prevails. I hope that helped, Tom.
It does. One segue, though, for you. Do you apply that same thought process to political beliefs?
Well, I still have... yes. Yeah. Very much so.
I think the Speaker of the House is, to me, a tremendous blessing as he holds to his faith in his position.
Yes. Absolutely. So, and I've, you know, I had the opportunity to have breakfast with President Bush, the second Bush, like him or dislike him. It was a great conversation, and this was some time ago. And I asked him, because he was one of the first presidents, Tom, that I saw hang on to his faith. And I said, how did you do that? And he said, I did it through prayer. I did it through conviction. But I reminded myself every day that within my role, I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't a pastor. So I stayed convicted in my faith, he says. But I just wasn't preaching about it, because that wasn't his role. So again, it's staying in our lanes, understanding. You know, you heard me talk on this show, I'm sure, about emotional intelligence and discernment. That's why I do that, because all these things play together or come together to get you through those next steps as you're dealing with some of the things you're dealing with as a business owner. Tom,
I appreciate your time, sir.
Oh, no, listen, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000. Tom, thank you for calling. Tom, thank you for being bold in your belief, both politically and faith-based, as a business owner. Can you imagine this, Tom? Can you, and listeners, can you imagine if every business owner in New York said, New York State said, you know what? No mas. I'm tired of this. We are going to stand firm in what we believe. We would be on top as a state, being able to be competitive all over again. That's just dumbfounding. Role of faith and religion in the lives of Americans. I want to share a little stat with you, Pastor. Of course, if I can find it here. Right. So according to the Pew Research Center, the Pew Research Center has outlined various scenarios predicting that the U.S. religious landscape by 2070, right, it's showing that most of Americans or those that identify as Christians would be unaffiliated with any religious belief.
That I don't know if I got the last, if I understood the last part, that those affiliated with, would you repeat that last part?
Yep. Christians and Americans now that fall under some type of belief, faith belief, religious belief, Christian, especially Christians, that they would be non-affiliated with any kind of doctrine. Mm-hmm. They won't be affiliated with this, you know, God is greater, that kind of stuff.
I'll try to give you the short answer. Years ago, when I come to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I understood instinctively, by the working of the Spirit of God, that I'm a child of God. As I said before, that's a relationship. Now, the name of my church, as you said, it's Bible Baptist Temple, Templo Biblico Bautista. But I understand that my salvation is not based on that denomination or anybody else's denomination. In fact, these are names given by men to a specific denomination, but a relationship with Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's very centralized. It's very specific. It's very simple because there's so many religions out there. It certainly is very, very complicated. How do you discern it? And that was my issue getting into this. I remember saying to myself before I got saved, God, who are you? And what is the right religion? And the answer comes from the scriptures, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That simplifies the whole matter.
Absolutely.
I hope.
How can someone find that, like, there's so many different denominations, right? So I chose to be non-denominational.
Right.
I believe in a relationship with Christ. I guess I'm what would be called a Bible-believing Christian.
There you go. And that's it. That's it. I am, you will never hear me exalt being a Baptist, but you will see me because God says that He has exalted His word above His very name. Mm-hmm. So, right? So anyways, that's been my experience. Now, I prayed my way through all of these details, and I ended up in a Baptist church. There is a tendency in our circles to, you know, really split the hair, dot the I, cross the T's. But my salvation is based on the merits of Jesus Christ. That's not ambiguous. There is no question about it. And any true Bible believer will tell you the same thing, regardless of what their brand name might be.
You know, for a business owner like Tom, right, looking at studies like this that says that, you know, religious is kind of going away, which I don't believe any of them, actually, because there's other ones that show, especially worldwide, I think it goes over 80%.
Yeah.
Faith in God plays a role in almost all their lives, right? But let me ask you, churches play a role in addressing social issues, politically or otherwise.
Absolutely.
And according to a report that I read, and it wasn't a report, it was an article on Religious News Service, it says, majority of churchgoers are reporting that their congregations sometimes discuss topics like poverty, inequality, racism, all political issues. Mm-hmm. But yet we don't see that translated into the actual civic engagement, the actual voting, the actual standing behind candidates and getting involved. Why
gotcha.
Is that?
Well, you know that I differ in that area. And our church right now, we had Wendy Webb. She's participating in your campaign, and I hope to get more involved that way. But that has been throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible, you'll always see that the prophet, the man of God, was always engaging the king of his day. And that's been a major issue or an error of the church, because you cannot separate religion from God. You cannot separate family from God. You can't really separate anything, because he's the creator of all of it. So this idea now, so I am more interested in engaging the politician than a political affiliation, though I have one. But that's my desire is to influence God's elected officials with what thus saith the Lord. And that's where I think that's where we need to be.
Teresita, I'll tell you, whatever you did with Jose that caused him to answer a shorter, mira, you are Woman of the Year. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to your next step, to the Next Step Show, to Conservative New York, and aquí in the WYSL stations. No te vayas, don't change that dial, because we'll be right back.
Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
Oh, baby, I love your way every day. Yeah, yeah.
We are back with the Next Step Show for Monday, and we have Peter and Jose in the studio, and we also have Marcus on the phone. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Marcus. What's up, my friend? Thanks for calling the show.
Oh, what a fantastic show. I'm glad that you had the chance to get Pastor Rodriguez on there. I just wanted to drop a little bit of information, because you were talking about how they were saying that most people will be unaffiliated or non-believers in the future. Mm-hmm. So there was a famous philosopher. Some people might know him. His name was Voltaire, and this was in the 1700s. He said, 100 years from my day, there will be not a Bible on earth except one looked at upon by antiquarian curiosity seekers, basically saying that the only Bibles would be in a museum or somewhere. But 50, I know, crazy, right? And that's in the 1700s, you know? And 50 years after he died, his same printing press that he would print his works on, and his house was filled with Bibles, and it was printing the Bible. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's just no way that you could actually eliminate God from his creation. There's always going to be a spiritual need. And the thing is that the thing about Christ is that he is that narrow road. But it makes perfect sense. If there's just one God in the universe, it should be narrow, right? This idea that I can believe in God my way, there's a Bible that teaches him exactly how to believe in him. And how to allow yourself to be governed by his principles and teachings, and it's always a winning proposition. But you're right, that threat has always been out there, but it's an impossible task.
Absolutely. Now, I'd like to leave with one question, and that question would be is, as far as us being believers and children of the Lord, with there being so much pomp and circumstance around removing the Lord and the Bible from everything nowadays, what do you believe would be the best way for us to engage and encourage non-believers or people who might have wavering faith to bring them back to the way?
Our primary purpose, one of our primary purposes, is that which Jesus Christ himself taught us in Matthew chapter 28. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if there is, that's probably one of the major failures in Christendom today. We need to be more aggressive in sharing the gospel and the common sense that it brings to whatever hope man might have. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible, has an answer to every issue that we face. We have a positive answer for everything. So the major thing is just to get out there again and share with people how God loves the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. People are looking for something beyond creation itself, as I testified, and I think every believer comes to the end of themselves and they realize there's got to be more to life than just this present existence without a God. God answers all the questions.
That he does. Marcus Williams, sir, thank you for calling the Next Step Show. You know what? We got to have you on again sometime here in the near future. You know,
thanks, Marcus.
That same article that I referenced earlier from the Religion News Service, right, that also mentions that of the churchgoers, right, that are involved politically, because there seems to be a higher number for that amongst black and brown communities, right? So, but yet, when we look at the voter turnout. Mm-hmm. When we look at how people are voting in the black and brown community, they tend to vote for people, well, for people that we see in office now that are pushing things like abortion, you know? And I mean, when you see abortion that's decimating the black and brown communities it's in their own numbers. They can't even deny it, right? Well, why do you think that's happening? I mean, I know it's trickery. We talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. But where? Because I've even had pastors, mm-hmm. Pastor Jose, tell me, how can I tell someone that they can't have an abortion when it's their right?
Well, to me, that's a phenomenon. I can't quite, maybe it's just tradition. I don't know why, but it doesn't make any sense to me either. I think that if you believe the scriptures, anything that goes against life, well, then that should be abhorrent, quite frankly. God is, he's the author of politics. He needs to be the one to establish our philosophies. And I don't know. I can honestly say that the majority of our people in our church, from those that will actually speak outwardly on these issues, they will vote against anyone that goes contrary to God and to his purposes. How these other churches, I think there is a distinction going back to religion versus a living faith of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is. To go to a church does not make you a Christian.
Correct.
Christianity is actually defined, are you born into the family of God? And then God changes you from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the distinction.
I'll tell you, I believe because there's this big focus on religion versus that personal relationship with God is what allows people like Hocus Pocus up mm-hmm. in Albany mm-hmm. to come out and say, be my apostles, right? Mm-hmm. Surrounded by like several pastors that... you know what? They were all dressed very well, so I have to assume there's reasons behind that. On that note, though, let's shift to the responsibility of leaders, especially elected people in this country. We're going to look a little bit at Romans 13, verses mm-hmm. 1 through 7, right? A passage that emphasizes the importance of being subject mm-hmm. to governing authorities,
absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at that. Verse 1, it says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for that which that God has established, right? The authority that exists have been established by God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems pretty... Some people may be like, man, that's pretty darn wackadoodle.
No. We're supposed to be under authority because, as the scripture highlights there, all authority come from God, good or bad. However, we are not subject to anything that goes contrary to the word of God. The apostles in their day were ordered not to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore they ended up incarcerated for so doing. Because ultimately, God is our ultimate authority, and whatever he says goes, and if it goes contrary to the political policy, then we go against it.
But doesn't that particular verse, right, Romans 13, verse 1, doesn't it kind of like underpin a theological justification for obeying civic laws without any kind of questioning,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
Making
not
that all. An obedience of God?
Not at all. Again, the Bible there specifically teaches that for the most part, they're there for our benefit, okay? They're there to uphold civic laws and that kind of thing. But again, a civic law does not outdo God's laws. So we submit, and I pay my taxes, I drive the speed limit, and so those are all ordained policies of some politician somewhere, right? So we do these things, and we're in keeping. You know, we don't perjure ourselves in court or in any other official position. We try to be honest people. In fact, I believe believers ought to be the best citizens of the country. Mm-hmm. But that does not go over God's laws.
Pastor, I'm going to mm-hmm. put on a different kind of hat here and challenge you a little bit as mm-hmm. if I didn't understand these, right? So if I was mm-hmm. like non-Bible believing and I'm like, but mm-hmm. your Bible says, let's look at verse 2 for a second.
Okay.
Verse 2 says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, mm-hmm. and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves.
Right.
This scripture mm-hmm. to me, right, especially if I didn't understand it, mm-hmm. it seems to warn against rebellion, stating that if you resist the authority here that's secular, that you're resisting God.
Yeah, yeah. There are when a law does not go against God, right? When you're in compliance, that's fine. But it is not rebellion against the civic authority. It's in compliance to the will of God. So how you want to define rebellion, it's up to the individual. It would be rebellion if God tells me to do something and I did it. That's really the best definition of rebellion, to go against God's teaching. So I hope that answers the question.
Ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000, we absolutely want your opinion on that, right? Because we're going to look at verse 3 when we get back a little deeper. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that here you're conservative, New York, and it's all about American values, God, country, family, because finding that balance in faith, politics, entrepreneurship is what makes you whole. Don't go nowhere, no cambies de dial. We'll be right back, right here, on the Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
346-3000, the number to call if you're down in southern New York or northern Pennsylvania or perhaps even up in Ontario. 1-866-552-1009. Toll free to join the conversation on Next Steps. In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general, or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
The difference is dignity. At Open Door Mission, we open our arms and hearts to help those in need. We treat every one of our guests with respect and dignity. No matter the road that led to us, Open Door Mission is here to help. Give your support at opendoormission.com.
Has your favorite pizza place been letting you down? Try Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery in Avon. Not only is their pizza amazing, but their full menu and bakery has something for everyone. Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery, Avon.
Advertising on the WYSL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WYSL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Next Step with Peter Vasquez on the WYSL stations.
And once again, Next Steps brought to you by the real estate appraisal firm of Ryan Murphy and Associates, Finger Lakes, Rochester region, decades of experience. They can take care of you. Here's Peter.
Ladies and gentlemen, si soy yo, tu conservative neo-rican, y aquí tenemos al Pastor Jose Rodriguez. Dan, thank you for calling the Next Step show, sir.
Good afternoon, folks. I'm really glad to hear a couple of things coming from the Reverend. The fact that going against life, there's really no excuse for it. I feel that way in regards to the Palestinian trials that they're going through right now. Peter and I have had quite a bit of headbutting about this. Peter feels that the Bible says that it's all right for all that murder and mayhem to go on over there. They don't like me to call it murder, but it's pretty obvious to me. And I'd like to, you know, point out a couple of different things in the Bible that I have run across. Why do you not understand what I say, Jesus says to the Jews who are doubting his descent from heaven? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And another one that I like to point out is Revelation 3:9, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. So the Bible says right in there that there are fake Jews who are going to utilize the Bible to their own ill will.
Okay, we got it, Dan. Let's let Pastor Jose respond to you.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the Palestinians and the Jews, they're descendants from Isaac and Ishmael, and they both have it wrong, unfortunately. The problem is that God has his way and people have their own, and there are certain traditions laid out in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that attest to the fact that the world one day will, in fact, be ruled out of Jerusalem, but the Bible refers to that as the New Jerusalem. And the other thing that you may know or may not know is that once you're born into the family of God, you now become part of that promise as it relates to ruling. When it comes to ruling on the earth, but that's when God's kingdom, when his kingdom comes, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the meantime, you have all kinds of biblical prophecies being fulfilled with all of these things that are not only facing Israel, but are facing the world itself. So it's probably one of the most interesting times in prophecy as it relates to the end times. Unfortunately for Israel, and you can see it even in our politics today, they will be completely isolated. But believe me, there are no innocent parties in any of this. Everybody is guilty. Everybody's going to have to face the consequences of their ignorance of Jesus Christ and his gospel, because he is the Prince of Peace, and there cannot be the total utopian peace that we all desire until Jesus Christ comes.
Which is why when I say support Israel, I'm not saying support their politics. I'm not saying support their president. I'm saying the support for Israel is absolute.
Absolutely.
Mike from Rochester, thank you for calling the Next Step Show, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, Pastor, I do have a question just before the last caller. You were mentioning about following laws and government. Here in New York, our beloved governor has taken it upon herself in the legislation to basically disarm the citizens, okay, with her draconian firearm laws. I was just wondering, how does it feel about that? If somebody should be following these laws, even though you'd be using these objects to protect the innocent?
I have people in my church running away from these communist socialist regimes that their full intent is to disarm their population in order for them to exercise full control in every detail that they can. And that is exactly what a tyrant will do. In order to stay in power, they want to disarm the population, and this way there's no threat to them. And so I think that's the short answer to the problem. It's a very scary time because New York State treats our Second Amendment as a privilege when it's a constitutional right. You have to jump all kinds of hoops in order to get they call it a permit. How do you give permission to a constitutional right? But that's where we're at in New York State, unfortunately. It matters who you vote for.
I certainly agree with that. And when the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, these were religious men.
Absolutely,
and these were granted by God,
exactly,
not by man.
Mm-hmm. George Bush said it right one time. He says, "Our liberties come from God, not from not from government."
Absolutely, Mike. Thank you for the call. I truly appreciate it. New York State preambles, or the New York State Constitution preamble, Pastor. You brought it to my attention the very first time I saw it. Right?
It's amazing.
Do you remember what it says?
Offhand, but he said that John, I can't remember his name right now, but he also was a signer of the federal Constitution. And he said, and in that preamble, it mentions that these laws were established in hopes of the blessings of Almighty God.
Yep.
So our state constitution, I believe every state in the union has God mentioned in their preamble to their constitutions, as much as we have the Bill of Rights where it mentions God as well.
Do you know the Democrat Party pulled the word God and any reference to it out of their platforms back in 2012
did.
To the
during
point
Obama,
where the media...
Exactly.
It was 2012, yep.
Yeah.
One more verse because we're running out of time, but I do want to address this one. This is verse 3 in chapter Romans 13. It says, For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. Can you explain that?
Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, the king was supposed to have, verses 14 through 20, the king was supposed to rule with a Bible by which to rule himself with. And that, again, goes back to the problem of secularizing our politics to
and
the degree it is.
Not a self-made Bible, correct? You're talking about the Bible.
The book, yes, sir.
Very nice. Any next steps advice you can share with our listeners for them to, you know, take their next steps and get involved with God, I guess?
If there's anything ambiguous, be honest with God, because that's how I started. I said, God, who are you? And how do I find what the truth is? And God will direct an honest heart. Anyone that honestly seeks to know who God is will crash right into Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's my experience, and that's what I encourage anyone else to do.
And somebody who's looking to pray, what advice can you give somebody to pray? Is there some formula that, because I see it all over the place.
Prayer has to be from the heart. Prayer's got to be from the heart. You have to have an honest desire for whatever the need might be. And God will answer that prayer. I put God to the test almost every day of my life.
Exactly.
It hasn't ended, and God has always proven himself to be truthful, honest, and faithful.
Jose, the fact that I'm still alive today at 50 years old, for me, is proof enough that God exists.
Sir, how can
someone get a hold of you if they want to get involved or learn more about any ministries you may have? Mm-hmm. How can they find Bible Baptist Temple or Pastor Jose Rodriguez?
They can call me at 585-230-3515. That's 230-3515, local area code 585. And I'd be happy to try to answer any question.
Tell me something. Are you the only pastor that believes in God, country, family, that believes in the Constitution, that believes in the first, second, third, fourth, that believes that our amendments are absolute, unlike the president or the buffoon in the White House that says they're not?
Bless God, I am not. There are a lot of people of Bible faith that love God and love our country because they love God, and we just want the very best from God for our country.
Hey, Pastor, when are your services? When do you worship?
Our services start at 10 a.m. in the morning. We're located at 706 South Avenue. That's 10 in the morning. We have a completely bilingual ministry, and we'd love to have anyone that would come our way.
And his services are in Spanish and English simultaneously. Talk about a bilingual church. Talk about inclusion. Talk about equality. That brings it all together. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been Pastor Jose Rodriguez. Listen, say it with me. Leadership is the beacon that guides me. For it's through selfless service that I illuminate the way for others to find their own greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, look, be a leader. Share with us. Advertise with us. NextStepShow.com. Que tengan una semana bendecida until tomorrow. Y nunca te olvides que aquí on the WYSL station, La Voz de Libertad, and the Next Step Show, tu conservative New Yorican, te amamos.